This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Edge Energy Drink. Grab the energy drink that gives me the edge with the best ingredients, low pH levels, delicious, and zero aftertaste. Order it at myedgedrink.com.
There he is, the man, the myth, the legend. Yeah, baby. The slacker, too. He did nothing this weekend. He just hung out, right? Is that what you did this weekend? You just hung out?
No work, no stories, no breaking news.
Good for you.
Didn't do anything.
So are you believing the breaking news of Vic Fangio?
Yeah. Look, y'all, reached an agreement and not finalized, or reached an agreement and finalized are not mutually exclusive. You know what I mean?
Can we just say we're waiting for a signature? That's all.
You know what I mean? Like, I agree. If Haley invites me and says, hey, come to this thing, on this weekend in Dallas. And I say, yeah, okay. We've reached an agreement. I just haven't bought the ticket yet.
Right.
But yeah, I'm going to go.
Of course.
Like, she has an award ceremony. I haven't bought my flight, but I am going. We've reached the agreement. It doesn't mean I'm not going there. Like, obviously, like, there are scenarios, you know, Josh McDaniels in Indianapolis where you can agree and back out, but those are few and far between. Those are rare. They've reached an agreement. Like, I've not been told anything to the contrary other than one guy, Mike Kills, is the only person I've seen report that. I guess maybe Josina did. I don't know if she's piggybacking or not, but it's agreed to, you guys. They reached an agreement. Unless he has a sudden change of heart before signing, it's coming.
Yeah,
he's coming.
I'm with you there. From what I found out, it's just a matter of the signature, bro. That's all, to kind of get it all finalized. It's probably what it is, what's happening overall. So I'm sure we'll get a final word on this in the next day or two here, and they'll end up finalizing it. Now, you talked about this too, that the connection between him and Peyton wasn't that, you know, maybe it wasn't as concrete, but I also, if you start looking at the landscape, the Philadelphia defensive coordinator's not leaving, so then that spot wasn't opening up. And nobody is making waves for Sean Payton. No one. So it's not so much about, well, the connection between Payton and this guy may not be as, you know, whatever. Really, all the other options dried out for him. So if he had Philly as a top option, which would be smart, obviously, because he's consulting already for them, the guy leaves, he steps in, he inherits a great defense. So I understand all of that, and they'll pay there too, like they'll pay in Carolina and they'll pay in Miami. So money's not an issue there. But the part I find very interesting is that after all the crap that's been talked about Sean Payton, I don't see any NFL team moving heaven and earth for him.
I mean, what we discussed were the top destinations. It was Houston, and they're going to go D'Amico Ryans.
Exactly.
Carolina kind of surprisingly went Frank Wright.
Right.
Arizona is about to interview Lou Anarumo, and so like they're still on the table, I guess, but like it's drying up. And then Denver, I just don't think Denver is that attractive of a destination.
Well, Ben Albright told us last week he's not part of the mix. He's out. He's not in for Denver. That's not.
And I trust that. I trust Albright in Denver with all matters Broncos. So, like, yeah, I mean, like, sure, Fangio could have said, oh, well, the market's drying up. Let me do what's best for me and not what's best for us as a whole.
Right.
But if you're if you're saying like we're teaming up, you team up in Arizona, you can team up in wherever the hell else.
I know
Sean Payton's trying to go. Like, so like you can hold out. He could have held out if he was hell bent on it. But
yeah, but you're also passing up
the right thing to do.
But you're passing up but you're passing up a fat ass check here in Miami already, and you can set yourself where your mom's here too in Florida. You know what I mean? He's got the girlfriend in California, the mom here. He has family in Philadelphia. So these are kind of the whole things. And that's why I think the whole San Francisco thing, people, you know, may have talked about it a little bit, you know, over there. I think that's kind of the way things have worked out. Like, but isn't it funny that you really don't hear anybody's moving heaven and earth for Sean Payton, which you know, the perception was that, you know, there was going to be like a line wanting him. Well, there's no line, bro. There's no line at all.
I think he's overplayed. I think he might have overplayed his hand a bit. Like he might have overplayed the hype of Sean Payton just a little bit too much.
By the way, like, Albright,
you are a Super Bowl winning. You are a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah,
can't dude, take anything away from you there.
When I brought Albright on last week, he brought up a great nugget. Did you know he had like 6 or 7 losing seasons with Drew Brees?
That's what I was getting at. You won a Super Bowl in what, 2009?
Yeah.
Was it 2009 or 20? It was 2009. It wasn't 2012. So with a Hall of Fame quarterback, and then didn't necessarily achieve a whole lot of success after that. You played in a bad conference or bad division where your only real competition was the Falcons and then the Panthers every few years. The Buccaneers were a non-factor for at least a decade.
Yeah, you're right. But
you know what I mean? Like, I think you have to be wary about these big name one Super Bowl head coaches, like same with John Gruden, where like it became such a spectacle to get him out of retirement that the Raiders paid $100 million for a guy that did jack in Oakland, and he did nothing for you. Yeah. He did nothing. He accomplished nothing more.
Yeah.
Him and Mike Mayock. So like that's what the thing. Like I think Sean Payton is a good coach. I don't think Sean Payton. It's not like if Bill Belichick retired and then said, "Hey, I want to come back for a few years." You move heaven and earth for Bill Belichick. You know what I mean? Like if Andy Reid decided to take some years off and wants to come back, you move heaven and earth for Andy Reid.
Right.
I don't think moving heaven and earth for Sean Payton, who is a good coach. He's a good coach, but I'm not going to put Sean Payton among best coach of all time in the best coach of all time ranks.
Not even close.
He's a good coach. Right. He's a good coach. You want a Super Bowl with the Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl with the Hall of Famer. You think people are going to move heaven and earth for Mike McCarthy if he retired and decided to come back?
No. No, not at all. Not at all.
I
like your line that he overplayed he overplayed his own Sean Payton hype. And I think you're right. I think he came because he sounds like it even on television. There's a level of arrogance with him. And I wonder if that arrogance he has, you know, kind of stepped into these interviews like, I know what I'm doing. I know what to do to fix your franchise, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm wondering if he's rubbed people the wrong way because there's no fight for him whatsoever, dude. In fact, I don't even know of a team that's really going all out for him because, you know, when you really want somebody, I've seen it down here. When you want Parcells, you're not interviewing anybody else. When you want Saban, you're not really going after anybody else. You know what I'm saying? When you want Vic Fangio, you're not really going after anybody else. You know, like when you have a conviction for a coach or a player or whatever, you're not really screwing around with a second option because you don't want to insult the first option. You get what I'm saying? And in this case, it's like, you know, I've seen teams go after Pat Riley or Jimmy Johnson or whatever, all these coaches over the years, and you never see them going after another coach on the side. No, dude, if you really want Sean Payton, you're going full court blitz on him, and this is it, and this is our guy. That's not the case. It's not the case.
Yeah, I think he could, he's good enough to command 10 plus million a year, don't get me wrong. But it's I'm not giving him Belichick money. Just to do what, man? To do what? Like, you guys had a good roster with a good quarterback.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen you do that without Hall of Fame caliber quarterback talent.
Right.
And those kind of quarterbacks are running low right now.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray's a good player. He's not a Hall of Famer. Russell Wilson right now is not looking like a Hall of Famer.
Oh.
I think body of work, possibly, but – right now, it didn't look very good.
No, I haven't. You know,
that's a lot of egos, man. Sean Payton has an ego.
Yeah, he does.
Russell Wilson has an ego. That's not.
But that's normal too. Those kind of people all have egos. I mean, you got to have an ego in what you do, also. What the hell?
There's ego, and yeah, I have an ego, but I can, you know, I'm a good coworker.
I get that, but I'm talking about ego in the sense of the confidence that you have in yourself. You know, we all have to have it in whatever walk of life. If you're a chef, you have to have the ego that, hey man, I'm the best. I'm
gonna make there's ego and there's confidence. There's ego and there's confidence. Like,
okay.
I think Sean Payton is the shit. You know what I mean? I don't know if Sean Payton and Russell Wilson right now can coexist. Maybe if Russell Wilson was truly humbled by this past year, it could work. But I don't know. Like I thought Sean Payton would have been the first domino to fall with all we hear about him.
Right.
I've been kind of checked out of the head coaching search this year, since we don't have to worry about that. Thank God. But look, I told you, like, once the first domino fell, they're going to start coming. We saw Frank Wright. We're going to see D'Amico Ryans probably, I would say, before the end of this week. Like, I would imagine that's – we're hearing too much smoke there. I would imagine that's coming quickly. Then Denver and Arizona are going to have to make their choices, unless Denver or Arizona is really, really holding out for Lou. But, I mean, they're out now, so I guess you can
– Well, they're certainly not holding out for Sean Payton, that's for sure.
So,
by the way, yesterday you didn't have a problem with that call against Cincinnati. I mean, there were some other funky calls in that game, but the one with Osai, that was one that had to be called. I mean, not a problem with that, right?
No, none at all. I saw Emmanuel Acho complain about, we're talking about the refs too much. I'm not saying that that's the wrong call, but refs shouldn't decide a game. They should call it. Well, you shouldn't hit a player 5 yards out of bounds. You shouldn't hit a quarterback 5 yards out of bounds. You shouldn't hit it. He's clearly running OB. That's bad situational player awareness. No, it deserved the penalty 10 times out of five. That's a penalty.
Yeah.
Like, to complain about it, I think it's stupid. It's stupid to complain about it. He did it. Like, and if they don't call it, then Chiefs fans are going to say, what the hell? Like, now we have to try a 58-yard field goal, a 60-yard field goal to win instead of a 45 or whatever it was. Yes, like, you're going to make somebody mad no matter what you do. You might as well make the right call. That was the right call. I didn't really like CBS's cameras, you know, going back to Osai like every 3 seconds. It was like,
oh, we love the drama. We love it.
And then look at Travis Kelce. And then it was Osai and look at Pat Mahomes. Then it was Osai and here's some Chiefs fans. And it's back to Osai. It was like, bro, we get it. Like, I'm not saying, like, leave him alone, give him his privacy. I'm just saying, like, dude, it's gratuitous. We understand. We've seen him. Ain't shit changed. He's still crying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need a live cam on it. I don't need the second screen, the picture in picture.
It's what we do. Like, it's what we do, bro. It's what we do. It's how we write it. It's how we talk about it. It's what we do. You know what I mean? It's the sensationalistic part of it. So we want to capture the failed human being and how their reaction, and see if they're kicking things and throwing, and see if they're crying, and see if they're bitching people out or whatever, and then we want to use that against them. You know, we want to bait it out of them, and then we want to use it against them. That's what we do in our society, right? You know what I'm saying? And one of the things that like yesterday, you saw the PJ Hall thing, that he's next to him, you know, getting his back. I thought that was actually really cool on PJ's part, because, you know, some players, you know, Marcel, you've been in enough locker rooms. There are some people, human beings, we're not all intelligent. We're not all the brightest bulbs in the chandelier. And you know how it is, Marcel. There are players you can bait. There are players you can set up. And you can get certain things out of them. You can bait them into certain situations. And writers know about this. You know what I mean? And so that's an emotional person at that moment. And, you know, remember Ryan Leaf when he exploded on that reporter? Do you think that reporter didn't know that you can, you know, kind of go after Ryan Leaf a little bit, that he's a little bit off kilter? They knew it. They know it.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I didn't love the whoever filmed and put out the video of Jermaine Pratt complaining, like yelling, "Why you hit the quarterback?" Like on his way back to the
right.
On his way back to the locker room, I thought, like, All right, like technically, yes, you are allowed to film that. You are technically, yes, allowed to put that out. But you are also allowed to get the consequences, the emotional and relationship affecting consequences of doing that. So like if I'm Jermaine Pratt, I'm no longer talking to that station. I'm not doing one-on-ones with you. I'm giving you basic bland answers if y'all ask me a question. And it's the juice worth the squeeze. You know what I mean? Like that's such a big thing to remember as a reporter. Like I know a lot of stuff that I could start blurting out right now, but a lot of people would stop talking to me. A lot of people would stop trusting me.
I'm with you. I know. You know what I mean? I've been in that position many times.
You could easily have said, if you insist on getting anything out, you could easily have said Bengals players frustrated, at least one Bengals player frustrated at that call as he enters the locker room, complaining, why would you hit the quarterback? You could say it. You don't have to dime people out like that. I would have stayed away from it altogether and maybe just asked Jermaine about it in the actual locker room, but hindsight's 2020, and I understand like the pressure and once your adrenaline is going, sometimes you don't think about filtering.
Well, the player's also got to be smarter and got to know, dude, I'm out in the public right now at the moment. I don't need to air my dirty laundry in public. He should have waited to get into the locker room to whatever, you know, have it out with his teammate at that moment, I don't think he's really going after the teammate. I think he's just airing frustrations out. I don't think, like at this moment right now, this morning, I don't think he's hating Osai at all. I think he's just, I think he feels bad for his teammate right now, I think is what it is. But at that moment, they're all pissed, bro, because they're a couple plays away from being in the Super Bowl, dude. I mean, you know, it's frustrating to work that hard all season long. And it comes down to that one play. I'm sure a lot of players felt like he did, you know.
No doubt.
Yeah. It's all understandable. All right. So tell me about the Fangio hire. What do you like about it?
With the talent and now coaching here, there's no reason for this not to be a top 10 unit on both sides of the ball. For Miami to possess two top 10 units on either side of the ball, offense has to be top five. I think like that's the standard that they've set this past year. That defense has to be a top 10 unit. You're going all in. This is a devastating news for the rest of the AFC East, which might end up being, you know, Buffalo's got a lot of decisions to make.
Yeah, tell them about that Josh Allen salary, how it's kicking in now. Go ahead.
I tell you, I know some things, man. Like there might be a decent little surprise come free agency, but that's all I can say about that right now.
You talk about a secondary player from the Bills coming over here. Is that what you're saying?
Buffalo has some decisions to make. I'll leave it at that. They got some decisions to make. That cap is tight. And the rest of the teams are getting better.
Did his father play for the Dolphins?
Did his father play for the Dolphins? I'm not giving any more information other than the Bills have some decisions to make. That's all we can say for now.
Did you see Farrell Edmonds hanging around here in South Florida or something?
That's all I'm gonna say for now.
By the way, you never saw his dad because you're too young, but his dad, unfortunately, did not have the hands. But let me tell you something, dude. That guy ran like a deer. One of the fastest tight ends I have ever seen in my life. A long strider. And when he would hang on to the ball, he could make some plays for you. Farrell Edmonds had it all to become like, you could tell why his two sons are studs. Because, you know, the Lord blessed Farrell with some amazing gifts. The only thing he lacked was consistent hands. That's what stopped him from becoming a, you know, Pro Bowl, maybe an All-Pro type player. But athletically, my brother, he had it all, man. He's one of those guys for Dolphin fans, old Dolphin fans like myself. We will always live with that memory of what if that guy had consistent hands. If he did, he had everything else, man. Everything else. Freak. Absolute freak.
Look, I'm just – the Jets are a quarterback away. I think the Patriots are going to be fine with a real offensive coordinator. Fine, not groundbreaking, but the Patriots could go, they could beat you at least this year. Like, I don't think he's like a, I don't think that offense is going to be a complete joke again. But I think this is a massive, for the Dolphins' chances moving forward. People I've spoken with, Vic Fangio, hell of a defensive mind, more of a coordinator than a head coach. That he's better as a coordinator than he ever will be as a head coach, and that the not that he ever will be as a head coach, but he's more than he ever was as a head coach because in part of the COVID seasons making things difficult. I've seen some rumors about like a testy relationship with Bradley Chubb. From what I'm told, no, Vic is a guy. He doesn't sugarcoat. He's a tough love kind of guy, but Bradley Chubb likes that coaching. Like Bradley Chubb wants to be coached. He doesn't want to be coddled. So like it's not an issue.
Oh yeah, no, and their personalities won't. McDaniel wants a head coach of the defense, and that's basically what he's doing. He doesn't want to have to worry about this, so he just leaves it to Fangio, and then he's fine. I think this is a perfect relationship for him because Fangio knows he doesn't have anybody that's going to screw with him. He's going to be able to run the show on that side of the ball, and I think that's really important.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what I said last week about Fangio and Peyton. Like, Peyton is going to be all in your grill. Mike McDaniel's going to say, y'all good in here?
Right. Right. No, you're right.
Temperature good. You want some, you know, y'all want some food in here? I'm going to go handle the offense. Y'all good in here?
Right.
Bet. And he's going to take off. Like, you don't have to worry about it. You wipe your hands and go worry about the play call.
It's a luxury, dude.
Four former head coaches in some in college, high D1 college or NFL experience on this coaching staff now between McDaniel, Embry, Fangio, and Daryl Bevel was the interim coach.
That's right.
In Jacksonville. That's a lot of in charge experience here. Like it is a good staff. We'll see what they do in free agency. Miami's got some financial decisions to make as well. Barry Jackson though did a good job breaking down how they could get out of it. I don't know how to find the article, but
I read it. I saw it.
It's a good piece.
Yeah.
By the way, that
guy never sleeps. I'm convinced of that. There's no way you're covering Heat and Canes and Dolphins as much as he does and sleep. There's no way. He's not getting laid and he's not sleeping. Those are the two things he's not doing. There's no way the man has any time to do anything. Maybe he squeezes in a shower, but that's about it. He can't sleep or get laid. I mean, that guy doesn't stop working. It's amazing.
He is a machine for sure. But what I know about Barry is that he takes his vacation very seriously. So when he's off, he's off.
That's true. He does disappear like if he was kidnapped. You are right. You are right about
that. I can't blame him. I'm about to do the same thing. I'm going to Mexico at the end of March. So maybe I'll see Eli Apple there.
Maybe. Maybe.
It's tough.
All right. One more thing before I let you go. McDaniel, hell of an offseason. You kept Bevel and you added Fangio. I don't know if a coach could have a better offseason right now on his staff. Forget the personnel side is a whole different thing. That's not just on him. That's on the front office. But for him to be able to retain Bevel and then add Fangio, my Lord, if a fan base wants a coach that can build a staff, this is exactly what you want.
Yeah, and I don't know what's happening with Crossman. I don't know what's happening with the special teams, but it is from a continuity standpoint.
Can I give you my theory?
There's no better option out there?
Not yet. I think he knew where he was going defensively from the get-go, from last year. And so he said, hey, Josh, we got to let you go. We appreciate everything you did. This gives you a chance to try to latch on somewhere else early in the process. Boom, they knew it. I think he's holding on to Crossman because he doesn't have the option that he's convinced is better yet. And I think you might find it this week, when we're in the walking around Mobile, maybe that's where he interviews a couple guys and then he settles in and says, okay, yeah, we can make this change. I think for Crossman, unfortunately, it's a bad situation for him because they might hold on to him to a point where once they let him go, he may not have a lot of options as much as, you know, Josh Boyer could have at the moment because he's out in the process at least early on. So I think they're just holding on to Crossman until they find that better option. Plus, it looks better as an organization that if you're still searching for somebody but you have somebody in place, instead of you're in a desperate situation that you have the hole open and everybody else knows you have the hole open. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying. Also, just, and I'm going to say this, no conversation from here because I got to run, but I'm going to say it just because we didn't talk about it. I don't think there's much reason for elevated concern about Tua's concussion. It's not like he's not like debilitated. He's not in just a dark room, still slurring his words, stumbling. Like, no, the whole process, since people didn't read the story or didn't take it seriously, it's been a deliberate process. What the hell are they having to rush him back for? What do you have to rush him? They're out of the playoffs.
Nothing.
There's no practice. There's it's nothing. Not a bye week.
There's nothing.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason to rush him back. So they're saying, take every millisecond you can take, see every specialist, every doctor, it's an abundance of caution here. Isn't that what they want? Like, isn't that what fans wanted? Like, all this retirement talk. No, he's not retiring.
Dude, as I told Poupart, what do you want to hurry him up to get him to the Pro Bowl for what? So he can answer 2 to 3 days questions about concussions? Get out of here, bro. He doesn't need that shit. Guys, take the offseason off. That's it.
What people don't understand about the protocol, first of all, I don't even know what the hell the protocol entails at this point when there's no practice. When there's no return to play, like the whole protocol, it's a return to play process. It's return to participation protocol. That's right. Technically what it's called. Participate in what? Participate in what? There's nothing happening.
Right.
So like that, like I said, there's no progression through it. It's just like a take it easy, take it slow. Everybody you see, everybody that you can. And not to mention, like, he could be in stage damn 4 of protocol. Again, even in season, stage 4 or step 4 of protocol is non-contact practice. Every practice is a non-contact practice for quarterbacks. So step 4, is you're essentially cleared if you're a QB. You could be essentially cleared for however long. And it's just up to an independent neurologist when the team says, okay, we're going to this independent guy. Can you clear him?
Right.
Then you get clear. Like, again, it's not – I was just kind of, like, blown away by the response to, like, wow, damn. Like, you guys are really – you're really shocked that he's in protocol still. Like,
remember, you have a certain section –
in protocol all year, and nobody said anything about it.
Remember.
Like, it's pearl clutching.
Remember, Marcel, you have a certain section of people that never believed in the kid, that thought he couldn't play. And so now they're all dead wrong about him couldn't play. So now they'll ride the injury stuff because obviously that's the obvious thing that you have to ride. You can no longer say he's too short and his arm's not good enough. He can't run a high-powered offense, all that stuff. All you can talk about is the injuries. So since they were all dead wrong about that, they've all piled on to that, and then they'll ride that all the way through. And that's what they'll do. They're all a bunch of phonies. That's all. It's just they're trying to justify the fact that they were wrong that he couldn't play. And that's it. That's all because everybody wanted suck for Tua. All of that stuff. Everybody wanted to suck for Tua. And then all of it. I didn't hear like the whole cries of, oh, he's constantly injured. I didn't hear enough of that. Now it's all over the place because that's all we have to hang on right now.
And it's just, again, like I see a comment here. It's just the Pro Bowl. It's just the Pro Bowl.
It's garbage.
Just pro. Like, there's no benefit for the team as a whole in letting him
play. By the way, cap for life. Never seen or heard of a pro player having a 2-month-long concussion. Cap for life.
Literally, Ethan Carter has had a concussion. I'm this
close. Exactly. I'm this close from blocking your stupid ass because you're an uneducated mofo. Okay? Ethan Carter got a concussion at the end of the preseason and could never come back. And plenty of players have been gone for a long time because of concussions. So, my brother, if you're uneducated and you don't know what you're talking about, stop making statements that just sound stupid. Get educated. Plenty of players miss a hell of a lot more time than Tua does. Tua hasn't missed anything. There's nothing going on. There's no hurry to get back for anything. He needs to just take this time off for recovery purposes. Yeah, he doesn't need any of this shit. That's you making it up because Cap for Life, you were probably one of those guys that said he couldn't play. So keep riding all the injury crap.
Tua's probably somewhere on a beach right now. Like I'm saying, like he's not like concussion protocol is not is it's a little different when you're not there's no participation to return to. You know what I mean? Like there's just no reason to progress through it. Like he's still so like I it just it's not worth all of the it's not worth all of the right. hoopla about it. Like he's fine.
Right.
He's fine. Like that's not, if you read the story that myself and Elizabeth Merrill put out on him a couple like about a month or so ago, Chris Nowinski, the guy who said that Tua should sue if he was allowed to play against the Bengals and got hurt again, the guy who is spearheading the concussion you know conversation, he told us there's no long term like there's no elevated long term concern like as long as he's gets ample rest,
right?
That he can play, he can resume his NFL career, no worry. Like, you know,
like Sidney Crosby,
no additional worry. Obviously, there's always worry anytime you step on that football field. But like that guy said that no, Tua shouldn't retire.
Dude, he used Sidney Crosby as an example. Sidney Crosby plays hockey and he's had like 7 or 8 concussions and he's kept his career going. And guess where he's headed to? The Hall of Fame. Okay? He didn't give up. He kept playing, but the key in between the concussions is the rest, is what Nowinski will tell you. You must give your brain the time to rest. And that's probably where they screwed up between the Bills and the Cincy game. That's all, dude.
Happens. Yeah, so like he's getting his rest. There's very much still question marks about Tua entering this year, but the question is no longer the talent and ability. The question is the availability. Right. It's not about the talent anymore. Anybody, if you have eyes, you can see the guy can play at a high level. Can he do it for 17 games? Right. Like from an availability standpoint, that is the question that Tua has to answer. Last year was, can you be the reason why your offense wins? Can you be the reason why your team wins games? Yes.
Right.
Check. File it. Seal it, file it, we're done. It's answered. Can you be available for your team for an entire season? That's not something that we've seen the first 2 years. And as your contract comes up, it's still a very prevalent concern. It's a very prevalent area of concern. Yep. But it can be, again, very easily alleviated, very easily addressed. You last your full season.
That's right.
You're getting your money.
Get rid of the football. Get rid of the football in the 3 seconds. And he'll have a nice long-ass career. Keep trying to scramble around like you think you're Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes, and you will die soon. That's it. It's pretty simple, Tua. It's really not that difficult, but we'll see. Follow him on Twitter at Marcel_LJ. Better yet, catch his work there at ESPN, and he'll be back later on in the week right here with our MyEdgeDrink.com Miami Dolphins and NFL report. Marcel, as always, thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Enjoy the week.
Yep, y'all do the same.
Thank you, sir. Don't forget, Edge Energy Drink, the finest energy drink on the planet. Dude, 78 calories, delicious, smooth, and zero aftertaste. Great sponsors of our program. Please support the people that support us. But I tell you all the time, you can order it to your home, your office. Go to myedgedrink.com. It is absolutely off the charts. Listen, order a 6-pack, okay, or a 12-pack. And then when you get it, okay, I want you, whatever energy drink you normally drink, I want you to compare the two. And that's it. Once you're done with that, you're going to go, forget this. And you're going to stick to Edge. Why? Because it's delicious. Why? Because it's smooth. Why? Because it has zero aftertaste. Why? Because it only has 78 calories. Why? Because it's a great elixir. You mix it up with some vodka, and man, it is so damn good. Go to myedgedrink.com. Check it out, folks. Use our code BIGO. Get 10% off. Get it delivered to your home, your office, myedgedrink.com. Support the great sponsors that support our program right here on the Big O Radio Show.